So how do we get from one of my current favourite footballers who was voted as Serie A's most valuable player in 2019-20 to a former Valencia and Spain goalkeeper who went on to be a rally driver?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers podcast with myself, Joshua Philip Cool, and David Nichols. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. I thought you were going to middle name me then, because you middle named yourself.
I don't know what it is.
Yes, you
do. I do know what it is. I want to say Jeff.
Yeah, Dave Jeff Stelling Nichols is what I was called. My dad loves Soccer Saturday.
Who's now leaving his role as Mr. Jeff Stelling.
He'll still be Mr. Jeff Stelling.
Yeah.
Leaving his role on Soccer Saturday. James, you know my middle name.
James.
David James, isn't it? David James, DJ. Oh.
DJ. DJ in the house. What's David? David James liked a bit of painting, didn't he?
He did. My brother had a little collection of David James paintings of Liverpool players in the early 90s. When John Scales was getting to the end of his career, David James had done like cartoon sort of sketches. You know what they called when you go to a fair and so on?
Caricatures.
Caricature. David James had done caricature of like most of his teammates and loads of them went up for sale and then some of them got reprinted and my brother got, I can't remember if he bought them or he got them as a present or something, but quite a lot of them as reprints and framed and stuff. And he had like, yeah, John Scales, Roy Evans was one of them. So that sort of era, like of player, yeah. And it was, I didn't think we'd be talking about that.
No. Do you own any footballers' artwork?
I don't own footballers' artwork, but I've got a very famous artist from Manchester who's done a portrait of Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo, which is an actual, like, not a reprint. It's an actual painting of him.
An original.
Ooh. Yeah, an original, which my mum got given, and then she gave it to me one Christmas or something, and it's in back in the UK. I need to get it framed. But, yeah, so I have some artwork of footballers, but I don't have art done by a footballer. So, not that I know of, anyway. Not that I know of. So, yeah, you?
No, nothing from me. Nothing from me. I am tempted to get those. Have you seen his Clive Tardley? He's got his writings, his kind of notes, pre-match notes for special matches, doesn't he? So there's a Spurs Ajax notes one, or Ajax Spurs, should I say, which he's got, and so he has a list of players who are playing, and a kind of sentence about each, and maybe a little stat, which I think would be quite nice. It's often the downstairs toilet or the spare toilet, I feel like, is where these items would get put on the wall.
Yeah,
do you feel so that's a good location?
I think so. I think that's a good location. And I think, like, you could take prime example, my in-laws, my father-in-law, to be precise, is a massive golf nut, absolute golf nut. And when he goes to, like, watch tournaments and stuff, he collects little memorabilia, whether it be a postcard or a placemat or the best one he's got is the British Open, you know, but when they're teeing off, they hold up the signs that say quiet going across them.
Yeah.
He's got one of them. It's on the back of their bathroom toilet. So, the toilet door. So, yeah. So, great place for it, I think, things like that.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Excellent.
Yeah, lovely. Excellent. But should we crack on with the podcast?
Yeah, let's talk actions from last week. We had some outstanding actions in the Sergei Rebrov to
Davor Suker. I'll edit that out so it sounds a bit closer together, like you weren't thinking as much. Yeah.
So I had some. I think we kind of take actions which for the player that we suggest. So I had some Rebrov actions. So first one was, I had a very throwaway sentence about Rebrov's time at Fenerbahce, just saying he'd been loaned there for a couple of years. But it turned out he also won a league when he was there and played 20 odd games that season. So I felt like it needed a little bit more. So I've edited that. Also found out that his strike partner, and I'm not sure how often they played together at the time, Pierre Van Hooijdonk,
what a player. Been on the podcast. Well, he hasn't been on the podcast. Featured in the podcast. Yeah.
And then also on Rebel's page, it didn't mention his stint at Al Ahly in Saudi Arabia. So again, added that in because I had all three other managerial positions, but not that one. You never know. Sergei Rebrov might be in a left field option for new Spurs manager if they were to sack Nuno. Imagine that.
Imagine that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And then the final Rebrov one was the big football. just tidied it up just to make it read better in English. Yeah.
Good. Excellent. We had one around the Sevilla squad as well, just to have a little look. Not an action, this was more of a go look-see, because we didn't realise, didn't know wasn't aware, I guess, that Maradona and Suke had played together in the same Sevilla squad. So we were interested to see who else was in and around at that time. You found Diego Simeone was in that squad.
Yeah.
Not a bad little player to have there as well. And they sold Ivan Zamorano, was it?
Yeah.
The striker.
Ivan Zamorano the year before that Suke joined, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe Suke was his replacement, I guess. Like, in a way. You've looked at the Golden Shoe. There was a comment around Golden Shoe,
Golden Boot, wasn't it? It was the wrong terminology. So it was referenced as Golden Shoe as his award. It actually was Golden Boot, so we just changed it to that. Quick and easy change.
Nice. Was that a translation thing? Does boot and slipper or shoe translate in a certain...
I just put it down as just a textbook error.
Right, a textbook error. Nice. Nicely done. And then I had a sort of, again, go and look-see, because we couldn't believe that Davor Suka, in his time at Dinamo Zagreb, they didn't win anything, because we only know Dinamo Zagreb as a powerhouse of Croatian football. But they didn't. Anyone who was there, they won nothing. He left in 1991, and they won their first league title in 1992. So, like, he left...
Well, first league title ever?
Yeah.
I suppose because it was newly formed league, wouldn't it, I thought?
Yeah, exactly. So, with the Yugoslavia war, or whatever it was, like civil war, I don't know how it's described, but it would have been a relatively newly formed league, and they obviously didn't win the first one or couple, and so he left. They had a lot of success in the early days, like the 80s, when they were, I think, completing in like the Slavic leagues, and then a barren spell of silverware through the 80s, and which was reignited from 92, where they've now won loads, and he wasn't there for it. So
no.
All done. Actions all done, Josh. All the actions from last episode were done.
Clean. Clean as a whistle. And now this week, we are talking about two new players. Dave has chosen a favourite of yours. And I'm looking at Dave now. He's wearing a Palermo shirt, which links in nicely. So talk to us about Paolo Dybala.
Paolo Dybala, a wonderful footballer. Technically gifted. Brilliant. I mean, you could read... We'll get onto it in a minute. The playing style page, playing style section of his Wikipedia page, we could get onto it, and I reckon I could have written that, because it is so like flowing and positive, and like it makes me want to watch him play football. I just really like him as a footballer. He's quite good looking, which I think also helps in the sense, like,
didn't expect it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his stats and they're okay. His attributes that he's got from his senior career. He played at Instinto in Argentina, is where he started his youth career and made their senior team. 17 goals in 38 appearances in one season for them as a 17-year-old.
In the second league it was, wasn't it? There?
Yeah, in the second league.
So when you told me it was going to be Dybala, I was like, I don't know who he was playing for in Argentina. And maybe that's quite right, because it was quite a lower level side. So he obviously went across to Palermo quite a young age. So 2012 he went over there, which would have made
18.
Yeah.
€8 million for an 18-year-old from the second division of Argentina. They had seen something there, and they got him. And he had the wonderful strike partner at Palermo of, what's his name?
Kyle Lafferty,
that's it. Yeah, that was for a couple of seasons, I think, at Palermo. They were strike partners together. And then, obviously, Juventus took a punt on him. Not a punt, he had been playing very well for Palermo in 2015. And he's made 188 appearances for Juventus, scoring 75 goals, which is pretty impressive, I think, for Juventus. Yeah, I think he's not an out-and-out striker. He's creative. Again, I think he's one of those, if you put assists in there, his numbers would be huge in assists and goals, like goal contributions, is what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
well, I suppose, yeah. But even if you look at it, so the first 4 years of his career, he spent 2 in the second division, 2 in the first division for Palermo and Instituto de Cordoba, 21 goals, 93 appearances, all competitions. But when you look at his stint at Juve, and for his first 5 years there in all competitions, he hit double figures in each season, which makes it a little bit more palatable as a 2020-2021 poor season. That's Andrea Pirlo's first year. A bit of change, maybe, but he's back scoring again. He's got 4 in 8 appearances this season. So, yeah, it's quite good. I mean, style of play, it lends itself to a lot of set pieces, maybe. Those goals.
Massively, yeah. Takes all corners, free kicks, penalties. I think he's quite. They'd probably have more goals for Argentina if it wasn't for Messi, because Messi obviously takes the penalties and all the free kicks.
Surprising stats,
like that,
isn't it, actually, for Argentina? So he's only got 30 appearances for Argentina, 30 caps for Argentina, 2 goals, which is a little bit tough to take, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think the Argentina side of it is who he's competing against in that team in this era.
Oh, yeah.
In the attacking front four or whatever. It's absolutely ridiculous. He has had a little bit of controversy for the Palermo stuff, though, around his transfer, actually. So the president of Palermo, Maurizio Zappadani, announced the signing of Dybala, stating, "We've got Paolo Dybala, who's the new Sergio Aguero." However, later the same day, the Instituto's general secretary stated the man who had completed the negotiations with Palermo didn't have the mandate to sell Dybala. But nonetheless, Palermo released a press announcement anyway, confirming the signing of Dybala, who had signed a 4-year deal with the Sicilian club, and it all went through for $8.64 million.
That's almost like the mantra at work: ask for forgiveness later. Just kind of like, you're doing it, you'll say sorry afterwards because it's going to happen, and we're just going to put it out in the public. And like, oh, I suppose it's happened then, has it? He's transferred.
Yeah, it reminded me of the more recent sort of transfer saga with Ander Herrera. Can you remember when United first tried to sign Ander Herrera, and we were like, it was David Moyes, and he was like, we've completed a deal for him, and then Atletico Madrid went, no, you haven't, because we have no idea who this guy is that you're saying is his agent. So, and then we signed him a year later through the correct channels. But yeah, it just reminded me of that a little bit. Yeah. So, obviously, big success at Juventus. Went through, he's won, 3 domestic doubles, I think it is, in his first 3 years at Juventus, 2015, 2018. 3 domestic doubles, which is good. Dybala managed 6 goals and 2 assists in all competition. He had a ratio of a goal every 151 minutes, which was superior to Carlos Tevez and Alessandro Del Piero's goal-scoring ratios in their debut season with Juventus. So he'd outscored Tevez and Del Piero in the first season.
Breaking news of Tevez at Juventus. Completely forgotten.
Did you forget about that? Yeah, he was there. And in the club's history, only Roberto Baggio has maintained a better goal-scoring record in the opening games of a debut season for Juventus. So he hit the ground running. Yeah, when his time at Juventus. Yeah, really did. He started, it was Allegri that moved him sort of deeper because he was playing off the wing, and then Allegri moved him deeper to play behind Gonzalo Higuain when they signed him. And it sort of became a big man, little man, without a real little man of pace. It was a technical little man rather than a pacey one. They did well. And then 2018 until the current day, it's dried down a bit. He's been linked with Man United, Spurs in the same transfer window, I think.
Yeah, do we both get a mention on this page?
Man United get a mention, but that's because he scored against them. Oh, no, sorry, they do. Dybala was initially linked with moves to Premier League sides Man United and Tottenham, although ultimately remained with Juventus.
Yeah, there's also an issue about image rights is what we seem to hide behind when that transfer failed. But what first got you into Paolo Dybala? What was it? Was it a Palermo stint? Was it a computer game?
It was a mix of both, actually, Josh. It was at Palermo on a computer game, and I'm pretty sure it was either Champ Manager or Football Manager at the time. Must have been FM at the time. And I was like, how do I not know about this guy? And then I was just like, obviously, you find a player on Football Manager, and I was like, I've got to Google him. Came out, saw him, relatively attractive. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, let's just look at his career a bit more. So I watched watching highlights. Juventus signed him, and I was like, oh, this guy's going to be... It was one of those where it's like, I knew of him before Juventus sort of thing, like when they signed him. And then I've just sort of followed his career. I've really liked the way he plays football. I really like that it's quite technical. And we've had this discussion before about what sort of goals do you prefer. He scores a lot of goals that I love, which is Thunder Bastards from the edge of the box. Like a lot of laces through it, top corner finishes. And I think that's just why I really like him. Like... And he's never let me down on Football Manager, ever. So
it's always helpful. And it turns out he could have actually played for Poland or Italy as well, for his heritage. He could have actually had differing roots. And maybe, you know, being Argentinian-born, so Polish was through his father and Italian was through his great-grandmother, it mentions. And I think the Italian route helped him actually make that young transfer to Palermo, having got EU nationality. But yeah, I mean, you know, maybe will he look back and think, should I have chosen Italy?
Italy would have been a good fit, I think. He probably would have been like the natural successor to Francesco Totti in that sort of role, you would imagine. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously, I don't know if he is one of those you can't tell. If do footballers have regrets about picking a nationality? If you feel Argentinian, surely you want to play for Argentina. So
yeah
it's an interesting one. But his I mentioned it in the intro. He did win the Most Valuable Player of the Year award in 2019-20, which was good. Where he finished 11 goals and 6 assists, so it's not brilliant. So I think he was more the player who went through him that season, and he's had a good career, like a very good, successful, honour-related career. His style of play references, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's incredibly long, but just
there needs to be, I think there should be some rules around this section. There's far too many adjectives used. It is crazy at the start. It's just everything. You're like, what lovely words. And so it's like, I've gone to the thesaurus and gone, so we start with, it's just the first, not even the first sentence, it's a comma I'm going to stop at. A quick, creative, elegant, agile player, excellent technical ability and a low centre of gravity. All right, okay, we get it. Yeah.
And then I was actually going to quote that, and then the next like little bit on, where it's like, due to his speed on the ball, positioning, intelligent movement and ball skills, he excels during counterattacks and beating the offside trap when making attacking runs. Like, yeah, I mean, okay. Potentially. Despite his diminutive stature, Dybala is also effective at scoring with his head due to his acceleration over short distances and his ability to anticipate defenders inside the box.
Okay, right. Now, that doesn't seem like that links too well together. Dybala is also effective at scoring with his head due to his acceleration over short distances. So he's like nipping in front of people.
Yeah, I think it means judging the flight of the ball and positioning and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's interesting anyway. And he's got a couple of tattoos. Obviously, everyone knows the two stripes on his arm.
Two stripes on his arm, I remember that, yeah.
And he's actually got one which is a football with a crown on it, on his leg, which is covered up by his shin pads, I think, and his socks. Don't know why. There's no explanation as to why he's got them. But, I love him. I think he's brilliant.
And he's been to Singapore. I'm just reading a sentence in his international career. On 13th of June 2017, he set up a goal for Joaquin Carrera in a 6-0 away win friendly over Singapore.
There you go. Didn't know that. I mean, that's also not a very good scoreline against Singapore because they're terrible. So, yeah, they should be winning like 20-0, even if they bought their under-21s, I'd say. But, yeah, maybe the heat. Maybe they didn't like the heat.
Is it Ecuador? The voice play altitude.
Yeah, the altitude. Yeah.
It's always mentioned, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But just before we move on to your guy, honours then, Serie B with Palermo, multiple Serie A's with Juventus, Coppa Italia with Juventus, Super Coppa Italia, Champions League runner-up in 16-17, individual, plenty of Team of the Year awards, most valuable player in 2020. Coppa Italia top goal scorer, Serie A top assist provider, and an ESM Team of the Year. Don't know what that is, but
I guess like a magazine or something.
Yeah, and he currently holds the record for the Super Coppa Italia all time top goal scorer with 4 goals. So yeah, there you go. Okay. But we've got to get, Josh, we've got to get from Paolo Dybala to a current rally driver.
Well, that current is a good point there. So yes, I have chosen Santiago Canizares. Now, you think of Canizares, where do you think of him playing?
Valencia.
He actually didn't join Valencia till the age of 29.
Oh wow. I was torn between Real Madrid and Valencia, but I picture him more playing for Valencia. That's where I remember
started his career at Real Madrid. It was loaned out to 3 different clubs across the first 4 seasons, where he kind of played regularly for 166 appearances across those 4 seasons. Went back to Real Madrid. You know, he kind of matured at a point because he's obviously started his youth career there. Played 4 seasons with Real Madrid, but you know, kind of second choice goalkeeper at this point. So he only managed 55 appearances for Real Madrid in that time, and 34 of those came in his last season. And this is probably the season where he probably a bit of pill to swallow. So he was the goalkeeper, lost his place come the end of the season to Bodo Ilgner, the German goalkeeper.
Yeah,
and also lost his spot in the Champions League side and the Champions League final. So he wasn't in there when they won the Champions League final. So I don't know how much of a catalyst that was, but that following season he then moves to Valencia. And that is where he settles in. 416 appearances, 10 seasons, he wins 2 leagues under Rafa Benitez, wins a Copa del Rey, Intertoto Cup, UEFA Cup, Super Cup. And you may remember he also, Valencia lost 2 Champions League finals back-to-back. They lost against Real Madrid.
I remember that one. Who was the other one?
Bayern Munich, I think, was the other one.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, great stint at Valencia. And lovely. Overall, he made 500, on the nose, 500 league appearances.
Oh, he's planned lovely, that. Yeah. He's lovely, planned yeah. that. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, somewhat mirroring current events, he had a little bit of a tough time at Valencia when Ronald Koeman was manager.
Okay.
And Ronald Koeman decided to freeze out Canizares, Miguel Angel Angulo, and David Albelda. Froze them out, made them training reserves. The side was then battling relegation. Koeman gets sacked. And it mentions here they all returned to the side. Now, we know Valencia never got relegated, but it doesn't mention it here. So I've gone, right, need an action here, because if someone's reading it for the first time, it's like they were battling relegation, they returned to the side. How does the story end?
Yeah, you need a sentence there. It's like return to the side, helping them survive,
finishing 13th or something, whatever it was. Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got that as an action. So club career, tried it with Real Madrid, didn't work. Valencia, ended up retiring age 39. Great club career. International career, again, reads lovely because he plays for the Spain under 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, even under 23s. He played throughout and has played 46 times for Spain internationally, but very often a second choice. Even when he first started in his Olympic, he was in the 92 Olympic squad, won a gold medal, didn't play because Tony Jimenez, now you won't know this name probably, but he is Mauricio Pochettino's goalkeeper coach and was a bit goalkeeper coach at Spurs. So I recognised that name when I saw it. I was like, Tony Jimenez, yes, I remember that guy.
Okay.
So he was already second choice there. And then throughout his career with Spain, they've had a lot of good goalkeepers, but it was Zubizarreta originally, and then Iker Casillas has kind of kept him outside. So, yeah. And then there's one incident where he may have played more, but do you remember this? In kind of unfortunate injuries, he dropped an aftershave bottle on his foot and severed a tendon. Now, I'm a squeamish person, but personally, I do kind of want to see dropping aftershave bottle and severed tendon. Seems like it's one hell of a drop.
I mean, that's got to be a glass aftershave bottle that smashes or something. Yeah, that's... Who was the England goalkeeper? Was it Rob Green that did it? Dropped a
stretching. Was he stretching on a table, or his foot was up on a table and he tore something?
Yeah, there was something like that. And I swear someone dropped like a bottle of a jar of mayonnaise or something.
Mayo, it might have been mayo,
On their foot. I do remember something like that, and it ruled him out of a game or something, like a couple of games. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember Canizares, probably a baggy goalkeeper top, like dyed blonde hair, I remember.
Yeah, yeah, definitely that bleach blonde,
bleach
wasn't
blonde
it?
Hair, yeah, bleach
yeah, spiky,
blonde hair.
Yeah, spiky, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, his page, it goes straight into rallying career. So it goes into, like, club career, international career, rallying career, which is quite nice. But again, it just no explanation of how that even came about. Like, throughout his footballing career, he had a love of cars, and he always dreamt of being a rally. No, it's literally in 2010 he competed in the first time in a scoring event for the Spanish Rally Championship, driving Suzuki Swift.
Well, we can click on that if we want to.
Yeah. So I don't. I feel like I need to try and do some research there to help. Tell the story. There's a bit of storytelling in here. So there's a story of like Valencia staying up after Koeman's sacking. I think there's a story here around how he got into rally car driving.
Yeah, you sort of feel there should be something a little bit earlier on about his love of rally driving, or surely a club has stopped him getting involved in rally driving.
Got to
be
in contracts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Got to be in contracts somewhere.
Yeah,
you can't
agreed.
Do that. Yeah, and then personal life, a bit to pull out there. His son, Lucas Canizares, been in last year Real Madrid's squad.
Oh.
But he has no Wikipedia page himself, so I'm going to guess a goalkeeper as well. But yeah, you look through it. Unfortunately, my look when I look at club career statistics for a goalkeeper, have they scored a goal? He has not scored a goal. 637 appearances, no goals. Nothing for no goals for Spain, but as I said, he's won a fair bit, lost a fair bit, and then a couple of nice bits in individual. He's also got the Ricardo Zamora Trophy, which I think is a goalkeeping award in Spain.
I had that weirdly in a trivia question what is the Zamora Trophy in Spain? And I've completely forgotten what the answer was. It must be a goal, most clean sheets.
It's got to be something to do with the other clean sheets.
Best clean sheet to appearance ratio, I think.
Yeah,
I think as well.
And then he's been in Team of the Year, and also he's in a list of. This is where I'm thinking exit points. The Liga players with 400 plus appearances, and Valencia players with 100 plus appearances.
Okay.
So thinking of where we might want to get, you know, channel our route, they're kind of the areas where I think we might want to go. So on the flip side, where are you thinking we are entry points into this world from Paro de Bala?
I'm not really sure, because last week we looked at both pages and I was very confident. Like, this is a route we can go down, because you picked out the bit where David Healy's had broken the record and we could go that route and try and get in that way. I'm not sure of any way we can... I'm potentially Lionel Messi to Barcelona, to Madrid, but will Canizares be mentioned in that?
There's some big old hits you're taking there.
And that is big a lot... Yeah, that is big hits in a row. I feel like potentially going through a World Cup or something like that to get to a Spain squad. It's tough. It's very tough.
My view is, Dybala's won some Team of the Year awards, where hopefully that'll open up to previous teams, and there'll be some links. Maybe who's done a Valencia in Serie A? We've got Gaica Mendieta, was Lazio and Valencia. Yeah.
Not Morientes. He's Morata. Is what I'm thinking of. Is a link back to La Liga currently at Juventus. Mm-hmm. Like, not taking out a huge player in Morata.
Did Roberto Ayala, the Argentinian centre back, did he play in Serie A?
Inter Milan. But we've used Inter Milan.
Inter Milan. So yeah, I'm thinking maybe some of the awards where he's got Team of the Year awards, and sometimes it links up. We had it the other week with Ligue 1, didn't we? Where it opened up to all the awards, which is, you know, a treasure trove of information.
That's true. I'm wondering, do you think, is there a chance, and it could be slim, but is there a chance that Mendieta ever won Serie A Most Valuable Player for Lazio? Because he had that season, he had a couple of seasons at Lazio where he was incredible.
Yeah.
So that could be a link in.
I'm also interested by ESM Team of the Year, because that is ESM Team of the Year is clickable, and that whole thing is clickable. So you'd have thought that is linking straight to Team of the Years. Where
I don't know
how long that's been running though. My choice is ESM Team of the Year. Is where I'm going, but have you got a choice? And we'll duke it out.
I think I would go. I'm leaning towards Serie A Most Valuable Player, because I'm hoping it would just be a long list of everyone that's won it, and I would also like to see who else has won that. But I don't know what ESM Team of the Year is, so
I'm in education terms.
I'm up for that. Educational ESM Team of the Year.
European Sports Media is the page we've landed on. So these are it's an association of football related publication. So there, straight away, there's a list of current members. So you have Portuguese publication, English publication is World Soccer. Is that something you read, Dave?
No, I was just thinking about that. I was like, that doesn't sound like it. And it's called Soccer, so it doesn't sound like an English publication.
No, yeah. Marca, the Spanish one. Kicker in Germany. La Gazzetta del Sporto. So there are definitely things that I recognise.
Yeah, I recognise quite a lot of those names, and I don't recognise the English one. Yeah. Like, I even recognise Votable International from Holland, but I don't recognise the English one. Yeah.
Oh. I feel like maybe the Athletic need to get themselves in here.
Yeah, there could be loads that could overtake World Soccer from England. I mean, I want to click on World Soccer now, but it's probably not the best way out, so...
No. So I may seemingly present four awards, and this is the European Golden Shoe, the Men's Player of the Year and Women's Player of the Year, the Coach of the Year, and then what we're on, the Team of the Season, ever since 94-95 through to present. So we have a list separated into goalkeeper, defenders, midfielders, forwards by season of different players, all clickable links, lovely stuff, all the way down. And at the end, a very helpful list of players who've won it most, and by far and away, Lionel Messi has been included 14 times, with Ronaldo 9 times. So we have got a list of players here, which I think the route we're going to think of is a Valencia player. Maybe if we pick someone at the same time, there may be a reference to Cannizzaro's on their page, because they're teammates.
Have we checked that Cannizzaro's isn't actually on this?
He might.
Straight away.
Well, yeah, because what you did notice was a Davor Suka issue, wasn't it?
I did notice. It was like, yeah, 96-97. Davor Suka was partnering Ronaldo up front in the ESM 11. And it wasn't mentioned on Davor Suka's page. So I'm going to take an action on this episode for someone mentioned in a previous episode. So, yeah, okay, that it has been noted down and we will do that. Something else that just very quickly caught my eye by going through it was, does it show a sort of change in formation across the eras? Because it's very much okay, there's 4-3-3 in 94-95, but then it's 4-4-2 4-4-2 4-4-2 4-4-2 for ages, and then you just get a spattering of 4-3-3s all the way down until 2012, where they play a very strange 3-3-4 with Gareth Bale, Messi, Ibrahimovic and Ronaldo all in the forward section and Thomas Muller in midfield, and but then it's just 4-3-3. So it's going with the times, is it, in terms of formation?
Yeah,
changes?
I mean, that's like just on that 12-13 season, it's also got Dante in at centre-back, which is a real rogue choice. We would have been at Bayern at the time, I think. It must have been the year Bayern won Champions League, because we've got strong Bayern representation. But let's kind of go for early years, where we get some more flavourful names. So we got Vitor Baia, who was the first goalkeeper to win it.
Nice. Porto, isn't it? No, that would be... He played for Barcelona as well.
That's probably going to be a Barcelona link. So we got any more Barcelona in that pack? Well, Michael Laudrup would have been Barcelona.
Probably, yeah.
Look at that side again. That first side had, in midfield, had Gianfranco Zola and Yari Littman and Michael Laudrup in midfield.
Yeah.
Frank Rijkaard at centre-back, who, yeah, did play at centre-back, but also played in midfield. So it's always about the attacking players. Even in the second year, 95-96, we have Del Piero, Rai, Lippmann and Scholl in midfield. It's just excellent, excellent stuff. So let's try and use Valencia knowledge here then, Dave. So who do you think has got some Valencia history with them?
We mentioned Mendieta earlier on, and he did have a couple of really good seasons. So I'm going to have Mendieta's there. First one in the 2000s. He's in midfield. So we do have Mendieta. I don't have a very good Valencia brain filter knowledge. My old spreadsheet.
I really enjoyed playing with them on one of the Pro Evos. And so I remember their team of Onglemar and David Albeda, Ruben Baraka, Vicente, Joaquin. So I've just seen 96-97, Jocelyn Onglemar, who I'm pretty sure was a French right-back for Valencia. So we got that.
Well,
you aware of...
I can't remember him, and this seems like a bit of an educational episode already, because we've gone to the ESM, we had no idea what it was. So I'm happy from an educational point of view for myself to go to Onglemar. But let's have a keep looking and see if there's...
Yeah,
okay. See if there's anyone else, or if anything jumps out at you that you think is worth talking about.
I've just noticed here in 98-99. Now, I think this has got to be an issue here, because 98-99, look at that 11, Dave. Talk me through that 11. So
98-99, Carlos Roa in goal.
Yep.
Yeah, not too bad shout. Lizarazu, Yap Stam, Laurent Blanc and Lilian Thuram.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Rivaldo, Mihailovic, Effenberg and Beckham. Raul and Gabriel Batistuta up front.
Now, my issue here is I don't remember Sinisa Mihailovic playing in midfield. Left-footed centre-back is how I remember him.
Yes, and I imagine he must have played a few games in central midfield, like holding midfield sort of thing.
Yeah, holding midfield, just spray it around the back a little bit. So, but I'm just going to have a check of that, because that seems odd.
Okay, all right. And
That would be the first five at the back we actually offered that.
Next season, 99-2000, centre-back, Maldini and Mihailovic.
There we are.
There you go. So, yes, that might need looking into a little bit of that. That's an interesting one. Well, Onglemar is popping up a couple of times. He's got it in 96-97 and again in 2000-2001.
Oh, so he did, yeah. Yeah, which is quite impressive because we've got Lillian Turan. I mean, I'm not quite. I'd be intrigued to see what Uncle Lamar's French stats were like because Lillian Turan would have been rocking this. And so across like 1998-99, Turan at right back. 1990-2000, Uncle Lamar right back. 2000-2001, Uncle Lamar right back. It's but Turan is. Then Turan wins it again in 2002-03. We have Roberto Ayala mentioned. Roberto Ayala, 03-04. Again, he played for Valencia in central defence.
I tell you what I'm quite enjoying about this, going through these names and seeing these teams listed out on players like this. It actually doesn't feel like it's picked on anything to do with reputation. Like, because you're saying, like, people are getting picked above Lillian Turan, for example. Whereas a lot of these 11s are just based on where he plays for the biggest club and therefore will get picked sort of thing. And a lot of them... seemed to be pretty balanced, though, I'd say.
Yeah, another odd one. 2002-2003, in midfield, Roberto Carlos.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to point out 2009-2010, Dani Alves, midfield. Unless it was a wing-back system, and they count wing-backs as midfield.
Yeah, I would have thought, if this is being a publication, I imagine it's, they've got like a pitch that they put out. And, you know, like our favourite Wikipedia pages where they lay out. Yeah. Maybe they're kind of the wing backs on the side there, but it's worth having a little look into because we do have some three at the backs. Again, he's got his first, second three at the back, I see. Chris, the Brazilian, I want to say, Lyon?
Lyon, I think, defender.
Yeah, that's nice getting a bit of a look at. That's a good side. Yeah, it is Lyon because Lyon must have had a cracking year because Juninho is in midfield.
Yeah. I like this page. It's weird. Weird to just be scrolling through and seeing these names and how it's doing. I mean, midfielders 2011-12, Shinji Kagawa is in there. Not a name I thought I'd see in a World 11.
Most rogue name I think I've got so far is 08-09 up front, Samuel Eto'o, Grafit, and Vedad Ibisevic.
Ibisevic. Didn't Ibisevic and Grafit play up front together for Wolfsburg?
Wolfsburg. Is that the year after Dzeko left?
I think it is, and it's the year that they... Grafit smashed loads of records.
I thought it was Grafit and Dzeko were the goal scoring.
Maybe it was.
Maybe it might have continued it.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just trying to see if there's a, like in recent years, because it goes present day and it's still going on, is there any weird names that send any weird people that have been picked in recent times? I mean, John Stones last year is a bit of a.
John Stones and Diaz. So it's three of the back four are Man City players. Diaz, Stones, and Cancelo. I mean, you've got Gundogan, De Bruyne. So last year, even though Chelsea won the Champions League, there is not a single Chelsea player.
There's not.
I'm not quite sure when they're announced, but like Jorginho doesn't get in there, even though he won the Champions League and the Euros.
But if the publications weren't impressed with how we played through the season, then maybe that's it. Maybe that's the issue. So right, but we need to... Move on.
I'm calling the shots, and it's Jocelyn Onglemar is where we're going to go. Education continues. Jocelyn Onglemar.
Jocelyn Onglemar. Onglemar. Anglemar. Anglemar. I think it would be.
You go for it, Dave.
I have no recollection of this guy at all. Like nothing, and I feel like that is a bit wrong because he's played for PSG, Marseille, Inter Milan, and Valencia, among others. He's now 56. It makes me feel like he should be prime in my era because it was at Valencia 97 to 2002, which is I would say when I got well into football. Champ Manager 01-02, 99-2000, that sort of era. Why don't I remember this guy?
I don't know. I mean, I think people in Guadeloupe would do. So he did play for France. A very short career with France actually. That's a bit unfortunate. So he did play in Euro 92 and Euro 96. It got really good for France in 98 and 2000 when Thuram came to a fore. But I don't quite know how this works. So he came out of retirement and played for Guadeloupe. He was allowed to represent Guadeloupe because Guadeloupe is not a FIFA member and only participates in regional competitions. He didn't play in right back. He played as a midfield playmaker for Guadeloupe. And you can see he had 4 goals and 14 appearances. So, and he's now, obviously, there's a lot of heart overhead here because teams manage is his the side he had his youth career for. Dave's going to pronounce the team for us. Who's that team, Dave?
Les Étoiles de Mont-Elu. Loao. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be Loao, actually, at the end.
And he's now Guadeloupe manager. So he has managed his youth team and his country of birth.
I like that. I like it.
Joyous.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I also like the fact that he moved from his natural position to right back to play as midfield playmaker. So he rocked up and went, I'm the best player here. Let me just give me the ball in midfield and I'll make it work. I'll make things work. Interesting though. It's a very short page. He has played for Valencia, which is good news for you, Josh.
Yes.
I feel like whoever's written this page knew as much about him as me, and then read a little bit more and just put it straight into Wikipedia.
Yeah, we've got citations needed a few times here. So we've seen a citation needed about the Euro 92 and 96, citation needed about his Champions League. Look at his honours. It all needs citations. Oh, dear. We've got it. We've actually opened up a few issues here. Okay. This is quite a big job, actually, Dave.
I think we could action this to both of us, because this podcast has been so educational for me. Because, Josh, you're going to have to teach me how to put a citation into Wikipedia, because I've never done it before. So... Okay. After the podcast, we'll have a live... you can give me a live demo of how to add a citation into Wikipedia, yeah. And then we can split it up and go through it and do it together.
Yeah.
It's weird because there are some references in there. So whoever wrote this page has gone through and put references in for name and height and age and like place of birth and things like that. And the fact that he's head coach of the Guadeloupe team and then just went, but I can't be arsed with honours. Like, I can't be bothered. Yeah. I can't be dealing with that. So... Yeah, it is. He's won quite a, well. He's got a lot of honours. I don't know how much of it is won. A few runners up and stuff, but.
Well, yeah, we got Valencia time, so there's the overlap. We did play with Cannizzaro, so we can click through there. UEFA Cup runner up with Inter Milan, Champions League winner with Marseille. But I've got a feeling isn't that tainted there? Isn't there some form of illegality of Marseille's win?
Yeah, I think there was. Yeah.
And the Under-21 Championship with France. So where do you want to click through to get to Cannizzaro's? We've got, Intertoto Cup in 1998 is catching my eye.
Yeah, I was thinking we could be very sneaky here. We don't have to take out Valencia.
No, like, I don't think we need to take out Valencia.
We can go if we know that Cannizzaro's has one of those same honours, and if Intertoto Cup, I think, is one of them you mentioned... Like, we could click just on the 1998 Intertoto Cup, hopefully get the final page so we can see the lineup, see who is in it. Cannizzaro's will be there.
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
Okay, 1998 or UEFA Intertoto Cup? 1998 UEFA Intertoto Cup. Oh, the 1998 UEFA Intertoto Cup finals were won by Valencia, Werder Bremen and Bologna. Didn't realise it was multiple winners.
Yeah,
Dave, we're not going to have a final here.
There isn't a final. How can you have a final with three winners? Like, I swear, when I used to play on Champ Andro 102 and got invitation to the Intertoto Cup and played it, there was a final. And one team qualified for the UEFA Cup.
Three of them. Hold on. So the 1998 tournament saw the return of English clubs in the competition since the controversy surrounding its participants in 1995.
Oh, that's something I want to find out about.
Yeah. Because we were so derogatory about it. So the page we have is... Oh, this
Sorry,
isn't good.
I've just scrolled down. Who's the first team we put back? This is probably why we were like pissed off about it. They were pissed off with us. First team we put back in it, Crystal Palace. They finished 20th in the league.
Crystal Palace. They're the only English side, aren't they? Yeah.
Didn't we qualify it through the best disciplined team? Fair play award outside of people that had already qualified for Europe, I think is what you got into it through the Intertoto.
You look at it, it's not exactly high flyers, is it? We've got first match between Belitka Kaliningrad and Spartak Varna. It's not like... does this side even exist in Wales? I don't even know how to pronounce it. EBBW Vale, sorry.
And it's not even Valley, it's Vale. And they lost 6-1 at home in the first leg.
Now, we've honestly shafted ourselves here because we've got a list of matches, goal scorers, and that's it, which is not great when we're searching for a goalkeeper.
Who we know hasn't scored because you made a point.
I made a point.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Do you know what? When I read things like this, this is when I'm like, I get a bit of sympathy for these teams because I've very quickly gone past Rimavaska Sobota versus Omar Town, and Omar Town are from Northern Ireland. So a little Northern Ireland team has had to fly to Slovakia to go and get beaten 1-0 in the first leg of the Intertoto Cup. Surely they can't afford that. That's
where the money comes from. They get money, don't they? They get given stuff.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so are we going to just save ourselves? I mean, I'm looking here in the final. Mikel Angulo and Schwartz score. That's Stefan Schwartz of Sunderland fame?
Oh, yeah, could be.
So how are we getting out of this hole, Dave?
Well, you for once have dug us in a hole. I'm sitting here thinking, why didn't we click on the Copa del Rey that Valencia won? So
was it me?
Yeah, you went unwell-intrued in the Intertoto Cup,
98,
maybe. And we both. To be fair, I backed you up by saying, "Well, we can just click on the number. We're just going to click on the number, aren't we?" I said, "Let's avoid the Intertoto Cup as a whole." I sort of feel like we have to go through Valencia now. We have to take Valencia out of it and hope Canizares is mentioned.
I reckon we've got ways. We've got lots of goal scorers for Valencia here.
Okay, all right. We can go back on our set. We can sort of go to a player that's played in the Copa del Rey final, look at the or in a competition.
Well, current thoughts. In the first leg of a final, we have Mikel Angulo scored, yes?
Yes.
6th minute, right? I'm hoping for consistency across Wikipedia. He was one of the players mentioned in the Ronald Koeman incident about being sacked. I mean, leading to his sacking, he got axed, didn't he? Along with David Albelda.
So you think Canizares may be mentioned on that page because of the controversy?
It just seems like, yes, that's the hope. Because, I don't know. If that fails, we just go to Valencia and Canizares will be there because he's played 416 times.
I sort of feel like it's a bit risky in the fact that you could potentially click on any of these Valencia players at that time and it may mention Canizares.
But he was one of the three players. He was one of the three players mentioned.
So we're going to click on Angulo, who scored in the 6th minute in the first leg of the final.
Against Austria Salzburg, yes.
Miguel Angel Angulo Valderi, I think is how you pronounce that.
Mm.
Angulo, any memories while we're here? Angulo?
Versatile, as described by his positions, midfielder, forward, defender. Lovely.
Nice, everything.
Now, everything. I can't help but, I mean, you want that to be defender, midfielder, forward, but I feel like he was a midfielder first and foremost. So I'm not going to change that, but it just irks me slightly. It's in a very pickety order.
I get that it irks you, because it also irks me, but I'm also then thinking it must be listed in either how many appearances he had in the position or where he was predominantly playing. Like, people remember him as a midfielder, then as a forward, then as a defender sort of thing. Or just get rid of it and just put positions midfielder. But attacking midfielder could also play on the right wing or a right back or as a forward. Spent most of his career at Valencia, where he won 7 major titles, including 2 La Liga championships and the 2004 UEFA Cup. Josh, you're a lucky man.
I am, and I feel like there must be some anti-Koeman person going through. It would be nice to click on David Albeda's page to make sure that that is also there, because it does mention in December 2007, Angulo, along with Canizares and Albeda, was axed by a squad from Koeman. They were brought back. But it still doesn't mention the outcome.
So you've got the same action. Saved.
I've got the same act. Did they stay up? And unfortunately, I'm going to have to pick up another action, because if this isn't on David Albeda's page, I need to make sure it's there.
Yeah, but can you do the action if we haven't clicked them as part of this podcast? Do you have to wait until we link through David?
I feel like, you know, behind the door you might need to tidy something up, so you need to open that door and tidy it up.
Okay, I get that. Another one, though, who has got 2 countries or nationalities listed under his national team.
Yeah,
Spain, under 18, under 20s, under 21, under 23, Spain national team, and then he's played for Asturias.
Asturias, yes. And we've we have clicked adjacent here because we knew we weren't going to click on, so we wanted to have a little bit of education because it's been educational. And that is similar to kind of a Catalonia, Canary Islands. And we likened it to, you know, Isle of Wight and Isle of Man, maybe, in kind of England terms. But yeah, he's played one appearance there.
Yeah.
I love in his top section, this is his second paragraph, basing his football on inexhaustible physical display. That is impressive, isn't it?
That is very impressive. That is very impressive. Very quickly as well, a little mention. Due to the ageing of previous starter, French Jocelyn Agloma, who gets a mention on the page, he played several matches as an attacking right-back as the team operated mainly in a 5-3-2 formation. So that's why he's listed as a defender. So it's a very attacking defender.
Yeah, yeah. He just basically dominated the right-hand side, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you look at him, he's got a nice little picture of him as an assistant manager role at Valencia, as he is now, after being Juventus youth manager, at Valencia. He pulled out of a transfer to Arsenal after a last-minute change of heart. His agent claimed that this was due to the player's anxiety at moving towards London, even though he'd already completed part of his medical.
Oh.
That's the first bit of controversy. Second bit of controversy. On the 15th of December 2004, he was handed a 7-match ban by UEFA after being sent off in a UEFA Cup tie against Werder Bremen. He kicked Nelson Valdez and subsequently spat on Tim Borowski. That's not very nice.
That's a turn of events, isn't it?
That is a turn of events. So I think he could have been easily wound up in the Premier League if he had signed for Arsenal. So, but
I'm not sure many people... Spitting is normally a kind of isolated incident, isn't it?
Yeah.
But to kick then spit, really toys out the pram.
On two different people.
Two different people, yeah.
So, yeah, I might have it's got a reference there, in there. It's got a reference, yeah, so I might...
need to watch that.
Yeah, I might have to Google that.
Watch the video of...
UEFA Cup, Werder Bremen.
Gulo losing it. Yeah.
He obviously loves Valencia. He played for Valencia B. He played for 313 times for Valencia. Managed their youth team. Is now assistant manager at Valencia as well. Yeah, and you're lucky because Canizares is mentioned. So we know the link is done.
Yeah. Can I just pick out a bit of his... He went to Sporting Lisbon after Valencia. And then, I don't know, it feels a bit... We mentioned, obviously, the adjustment to Arsenal, or to London if he went to Arsenal. He agreed to a one-year contract with Sporting, but after just 4 months, he was released by Lisbon club, grossly unsettled, and pondered his retirement, which was confirmed the following week. Grossly unsettled.
I'd love to find a photo of him where he's like deep in thought on the touchline, and then you could put Angulo pondering his retirement underneath the image. We've got the link, so I'm just going to have a little chat here because I've learned a lot on this podcast, this episode. I don't remember Miguel Angulo. I didn't remember Jocelyn Anglomar.
Anglomar.
Like, didn't have a final. So,
or what European sports media was, ESM.
Or ESM. So I've learned loads. Every click is I've learned something today. Every click, I've learned something. I knew who Dybala was. I knew who Canizares was. I literally knew nothing that linked them together.
Between has been... That is why this podcast enticed us in the first place. We're like, And, this has been fantastic, this one.
Is this going to encourage us to click on a few more random things? And things we don't... Because I think we're quite about the process of completing the journey, which is the right thing to do, but we clicked on ESM because we were like, I don't know what it is. And maybe we need a bit more of that. Maybe an unwritten guidance rule.
A risk taker.
Yeah. We need to encourage ourselves to take more risks in this podcast, I think. I am a little bit annoyed that now we know what ESM is. That would have been a great way to link through to other people.
That is a good link.
Do it, Josh. Let's complete it. Let's click on Santiago Canizares and get the journey done.
So that brings an end to this journey. And we have gone from Paulo Dybala, Dave Choice, who was in the team of the year, the ESM team of the year, the European Sports Media, of which Jocelyn Anglomar was also a winner, who we knew played at Valencia. But he won the Intertoto Cup in 1998, so we thought, yes, that's where we'll get Canizares. No, because the Intertoto Cup has got three winners. There's no final there. But we saw in the goal scorers Miguel Angel N'Golo, who also played with Canizares, but also was axed by Ronald Koeman. Hoping for that reference, it was referenced. Click through to the former Spanish Valencia goalkeeper, now maybe rally driver, Santiago Canizares. Education, 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 education. For lots of it. Well done us.
Yeah, well done us. And well summarised, Josh. But we have picked up actions along the way.
Heavy actions.
Did they stay up? All three of those players, you're taking that action. Canizares, you need the Valencia little end to say where they finished in the table.
Yeah, like, finish the story. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah.
Finish the story. I think we need to know a little bit more about the rally career of Canizares. That was one you've taken as well. How did it come about? Was it always a long-term passion, that sort of thing? Just, again, fill the story of Wikipedia. ESM, I've got an action. Davos Uka was mentioned in the ESM, and it's not mentioned in his honours, in individual honours, so I'll add that to Davos Uka's in there. Mihailovic, we're going to look at that as well, because he was once listed as a centre-back and 1 year listed as a midfielder. So yeah, we're going to just have a little look in. Maybe that's actually needed, because Roberto Carlos is on there and Dani Alves as well. Maybe we need to see how ESM have judged player positions. Are they doing it based on what they're registered under?
Yeah, UEFA? It may be out of our hands. It might just be.
Exactly. Jocelyn Anglemar needs citations all over the place, so we're going to tidy that up and get those done. And then we're going to watch, see if we can find and watch the video of Angulo losing it against Werder Bremen. And it feels like a lot of actions.
It does.
Yeah, that was education, Joss. I have learned so much there, and I thank you for that.
No, thank you. We took some clicks.
Yeah.
We clicked together, Dave. We did it together.
We did, but you pushed us down the ESM route, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You instigated the risk-taking. So.
Brilliant. Anyway, but yeah, that brings an end to this week's podcast. So thank you for listening. Feel free to send your suggestions for Wikipedia pages. You can find us on Twitter at Wikipedia Wanderers and Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. Again, one of those handles is incorrect. See you next week. Goodbye.